Hello everyone and welcome to this presentation of the Coriolis ASIC design flow. The presentation is organized as follows. First, I will remember the reasons that are behind or driving us to make Coriolis. Then, I will present the basics of making an ASIC, that is how ASICs are done, which will lead me to introduce the design flow with a special emphasis toward its software architecture. Then I will summarize the improvement that we made in 2021 and go to the plans for 2022. And finally, I will present a small demonstration about the latest capabilities of Coriolis. One of the first reasons we started to develop Coriolis was to provide academics with tools independent from commercial software, which have closed source and with which you cannot exactly control what you do or being trapped by backward capabilities problems. So with our tools, you know exactly what's going on inside the source, and moreover, if it doesn't exactly suit you, you can modify them. The second advantage is that with the software, you can publish and share and modify the hardware design you have made. This avoid to have to reinvent the wheel every time you want something that has been already been done by others but cannot be published. We hope to build a free community with that approach, exactly like the free software made for Unix. But aside for those academics aspects, we also wanted Coriolis to be able to handle real situation designs, so small and medium enterprises will be able to make at a low or no cost small or medium designs without having to pay the huge fees usually associated with commercial software. Of course, by being open, we should bolster the securities. As I remind you, a secure software cannot run in an insecure hardware. If your hardware is not trusted, there is no way you can make a trusted software upon it, or at least that I'm aware of. Another aspect of this project is that it will help ensure the continued existence of the hardware. Typically, there are some applications or domains when you want to be able to provide a design for a very long time. Typically, imagine a nuclear power plant which has been qualified with a certain processor or certain kind of hardware. It will be only qualified for those hardware and not other. So you have to be able to provide those exact same hardware for the lifespan of the nuclear power plant, which may be 50 or maybe even 60 years. So imagine a processor that has that kind of lifespan. As of today, I don't know any one of them. So we wanted to start small, and our first targets are the mature node, that is the node not lower than 130 nanometers, because the problem to solve are less complex and we can make demonstration and still have useful designs. I assume that most of you are familiar with the FPGA design flow and not with the ASIC design flow. So this figure helps to understand the difference. On the left-hand side, you have the FPGA design flow, which start by a logical synthesis, then a place and route upon the FPGA matrix to targets. That place and route generates a bit stream that you send inside the FPGA that you upload onto the FPGA and which configures it. Note that the FPGA is itself a kind of ASIC. It's a finished ASIC, but it's an ASIC. On the other side, on the right side, you have the ASIC design flow, which starts the same by a logical synthesis, but on a slightly, on a quite different structure, which is the standard cells, and gives a netlist. Then we perform the physical synthesis, which is called the place and route, and gives us a layout. A layout is a drawing, just a big drawing. And this is this drawing that we send to the foundry. The foundry is the factory that will transform your design, your drawing, your layout into an ASIC. And it will send back you that ASIC. There are two blocking points until recently in this design flow. The first point is the EDA tools. EDA tools exist, but the commercial one comes with a very high license fee. For example, I heard that to benefit from the full flow of one major vendor, it's above €1 million per year. So that's quite as expensive for small or medium business. The second blockage point is, which is underlining in red here, it's the fact that the foundry protect their technological information, their trade secrets, by NDA, non-disclosure agreements, that prevents you to share or to completely share or publish everything you do with the design rules, with their private information. So it completely prevents you to share your work. On the other hand, once fabricated, you have no restriction about the finished product, which is the ASIC. So those two points are the key points that we want to solve. Let's have a closer look at the ASIC design flow. On the left-hand side of this slide, I put a drawing of a small, very small design, so we can see the individual components. As I said, a design is just a drawing, but a drawing that has to respect a very complex set of design rules. That is drawing rules. For modern technologies, this set of rules contain above 1,000 rules. So, how does that work? First, we have the RTL description of a design, which is basically a finite set machine expressed in terms of registers and Boolean equation, complex Boolean equation. We use the logical synthesis to break it down in terms of little logical cells, which gives us a netlist. The point of the logical cells, called a standard cell library, is that those little cells have a layout counterpart that you can translate this small logical Boolean equation, which is an AND, into a design, an electrical design that will do the same function. When you have broken down your design, you have to reassemble it into a single coherent layout, which is done basically in two steps, the placement steps, We just place all those little pieces of layout inside an area, and then the routing step, which draw the wires that connect them, the electrical wires. And then you get you.